This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, this is great. Dane Brugler has been breaking Kyler Murray tape down. He's got what you need to know right here about his value for the NFL and more. We'll also ask him, could Dwayne Haskins save the Giants? Is Baker Mayfield ticking off OU fans and more right here? Segments brought to you by Devil's River Whiskey and by 1-800-LAWYERS. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Franklin Frankel right now. 1-800-LAWYERS, strong army of attorneys to fight for you. Principal office, Dallas, Texas. We are about 14 minutes from the Jason Garrett press conference, so stick around for the latest updates on America's team. But good morning to you, Dane. How you doing? Ooh, let's get that mic on over here. Got a hot mic coming in.
Yeah, morning, guys.
There you go.
Always, that's usually what I do.
I always enjoy it when I can make my way down here and spend some time with you guys. So it's a rainy morning, but worked out coming down from Frisco. So
trust the tape.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was nice to see you in there with Jeff, the podcast every week, the Trust the Tape podcast. You can read all of Dane's stuff on The Athletic and check him out on Twitter at DP Brugler. So you started watching a bunch of Kyler Murray tape, huh? That's got to make you a very popular man right now, people wanting to pepper you with questions.
Well, you know, it's something that I still think he's going to play baseball. You know, I think that's what you ask Scott Boras, his agent for baseball. That's the answer you're going to get. But with the showdown coming down against Alabama and that defense, really want to focus on Kyler and just what if he did choose football over baseball. And he's not completely closing the door, but what if he went to football now? We don't see a lot of 5'9" quarterbacks. We've talked about that at length in the past. But when you watch him, he's got some special to him. The arm talent's easy. He's got a whip on him. He's a naturally accurate thrower. I mean, there are times where the ball placement needs improved in terms of throwing to the right shoulder and making it easier on receivers. But he's a naturally accurate player. We know he's electric as an athlete. The big thing for him will be just, and the big thing for evaluators is taking him outside of the Big 12, outside of that offense, and how will he do in a pro-style scheme? How will he do it behind an offensive line that doesn't give him 5-6 seconds to diagnose, read coverages, find an open receiver? So there's a lot of kind of, you have to fill in the gaps in terms of projecting him, but and he's a mini Mahomes with the way he plays out there in terms of the physical skill set. Now, he obviously is undersized. You worry about the durability long term, but there's so much to like about what he brings from just the athleticism, the arm talent, the instincts that he has. And he's not a guy that's going to drop his eyes and run at the first hint of pressure. He's going to sit in the pocket. He's going to exhaust as much time as he has to look down the field and have someone come open before he decides to drop his eyes and go run. So I think there's a lot that translates to the next level. And I will say this, if he decided to say, okay, I'm going to give the money back to the Oakland A's, I'm going to choose 100% NFL right now, he'd be a first-round pick.
High first round? Like, where would you say in first round? Because top half or bottom half?
It's hard to say because, you know, first of all, there are only going to be so many teams looking for a quarterback.
Yeah.
So you eliminate, you know, say you eliminate 20 teams. So there's 10 teams looking for a quarterback. Say you eliminate five of those teams because five aren't going to be on board with a 5'9" 190-pound quarterback.
So let me ask you this. And you maybe have to ask scouts this if he does declare and decide to do football, is what is too short? As in, like, at what point do teams go, okay, like 5'8", I can't take a dude in the first round who's 5'8". Because, you know, I know things are changing in the NFL. And, look, Breeze wasn't a first-round quarterback, and neither was Wilson. But I'm just wondering at what point would coaches and staff go, okay, we'll draft him, but 5'8 is like the number where we can't take you in the first round. I don't know. Sure. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good question because, again, we have not seen an NFL quarterback have any sustained success being smaller than 5'10. We haven't seen it, especially going the first round. So, you know, it would be unprecedented. But when's the last time we saw a quarterback that was 6'5" go for number one overall, like Baker Mayfield did?
Yeah.
So, I think... You know, there's a stigma around Patrick Mahomes when he was coming into the league. When was the last time a Texas Tech quarterback coming from that air raid system? When was the last time a quarterback like that had any type of success? So I think, you know, teams are more willing to think outside the box and really evaluate the player based on not what has worked in the past, but the individual and what he can do, his strengths. And so I think that it's the right time for a player like Kyler Murray for at least a handful of teams mm-hmm. that are going to be really interested in the top 30 or 40 picks.
If Breeze has to be on his tiptoes and looked on the downside of his face mask, though, it appears we're on the point of, exhaustion as far as how short you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Can you design an offense where you don't have to throw it over the line of scrimmage? You're throwing to the flats or you're rolling out? Could that be effective in pro football?
Yeah, I think so. And it works both ways. You hear Eric Weddle for the Ravens, one of the best safeties in the NFL.
Yes.
When he talked about when he faced the Browns, how, someone asked him about, Baker, can he see over the offensive line? Like, is the size? And he's like, well, yeah, you can say that, but we can't see him. Because he's behind that offensive mm-hmm. line. We don't know what he's doing. As a safety playing deep coverage, I don't know if he's moving around. I don't know because I can't see him back there. So it kind of works both ways where an undersized quarterback has a chance to be elusive in the pocket because of that size. I think it is tough to, really, because you can't point to anything. You can't say, well, this mm-hmm. guy's been able to do it. This guy's been able to do it. Russell Wilson is the closest thing we have, and he was 5'10 and a half. So if Kyler's, we'll see what he comes in at. If he's 5'9 and a half,
he's 5'8, man.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I saw him stand next to Tua, and they look similar.
I know what you mean. And you know what? Yesterday, I called Kyler a combination of Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I was saying that Russell gives him the chance to play in the NFL because Russell, he rolls out almost every play. That's how he sees over the line, and they designed that for him. He doesn't rush. He doesn't all of a sudden run. He's rolling out to see what he's going to do. But also, Russell Wilson has never missed a game, ever, at his size. In other words, he knows how to slide from his baseball background, and I think that's what Kyler brings to the game, so you don't have to worry about him getting hurt all the time because he knows how to slide. So is it fair to call him that? And then Mike and I were talking before off the air about why does Kyler get so much time in the pocket? Why does he get 6, 8, 10 seconds in the pocket?
Yeah,
don't they spy him? I mean, what's the deal?
Well, and a big part of that's the offensive line. All mm-hmm. five of those offensive linemen for Oklahoma, they will be playing on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
The right tackle, Cody Ford, is funny. I put him in my first round mock draft last week, and all of a sudden now everybody's talking about him because he is really good. He's a redshirt junior. I expect him to declare he can be a first round pick. Both guards will be starting in the NFL at this time next year. So he's playing behind a really strong offensive line. That's a big part of it. I think you're back to your comps about with Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And the thing with Russell Wilson, though, he's 20 pounds, 25 pounds bigger and thicker.
Solid.
And so, he can take some of those hits. That's my biggest question with Murray. He's going to take hits. It's going to happen in the NFL. Is he going to be able to bounce back with such a slight frame? And he's not getting any bigger than he is. 190 is probably his peak in terms of bulk and weight. He's not going to get much bigger than that. And so just durability-wise, that's another question mark.
So let's talk about the upcoming bowl season. And really, to me, I only care about the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And when I look at it, and I always feel this and think this, is I lose interest because it happens a month later. So we can either talk about that, or there's no way teams are playing at their best after having a month off of football. So I don't know. What's your thought on having a month off and the momentum of it? And then are we actually seeing the four best teams play their best football with not having a game for a month?
Well, and you could look at it both sides that, playing a month later, how that affects your team. Maybe you're beat up. Maybe you need some time to kind of recuperate and get healthy. And so for some teams, it could be a benefit just in terms of getting healthy and healing some injuries. But I think it's a big thing for the coaches to break down the tape. And, you give Nick Saban a month to prepare for Lincoln Riley. And the flip side, you give Lincoln Riley a month to prepare for Nick Saban, how that's going to look. I cannot mm-hmm. wait for that game. It's going to be a lot
yes.
of fun. And I mentioned the offensive line for Oklahoma, how talented of a group it is. That Alabama defensive front might be the best in the nation. Quinnen Williams, number 92, is the best defensive lineman in college football. He's going to be a top three pick next year. Isaiah Bugs is up there, Raekwon Davis. So Alabama's loaded on the defense as a whole, but especially the defensive line. So how that chess match works between the coaches, that's going to be fascinating. And so having a full month to prepare, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's some of it's intrigue in terms of build up. Some of it is, these other bowl games we have to play. There's a lot of talk now about an 8-team playoff, how that could change things. Maybe you, you play some more games before Christmas, how that's going to work. So I think we're going to see some fluctuation here in the next few years in terms of how they do the playoff. But this year, I can't necessarily disagree with the four that they came down with. Notre Dame's my, kind of my big question mark. They went undefeated. They beat everyone on their schedule. Nothing against them, but...
Yeah, place is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you're an independent, so you don't have a conference championship game. Mm-hmm. You know, there's really no oversight in terms of, you know, you making sure that you win your conference. But you're a big brand, and if you go undefeated as Notre Dame, you're going to make the playoffs. So it's definitely an interesting conversation.
By the way, real quick on that Notre Dame thing, since they hadn't played since Thanksgiving, it actually backfired on Ohio State about 10 years ago. They were undefeated. Nobody could beat them, but they had like 3 months off, and they lost their bowl game, and they could have the BCS or something. So
yeah.
So speaking, now, oh, go ahead.
No, speaking of the Buckeyes, have you watched Haskins? What do you think of him? How good is he going to be at the next level? As you know,
yeah,
we're starting to look at the top quarterbacks coming out now.
I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can be. His arm talent is special. He's a big guy. You know, 6'3" by 230 pounds. And the biggest thing for me has been watching his progression throughout the year, because his first year starter this year, he had 57 career passes coming into the season. And so he's only a redshirt sophomore, but I'm told he is going to declare, or at least NFL teams are expecting him to declare. We'll see what Justin Herbert does at Oregon. But if Herbert goes back to school, Haskins will be the new clear-cut favorite to be the first quarterback off the board, probably someone in the top 10 picks. But watching him this year, you watched him against TCU earlier in the year, struggle versus pressure, Penn State on the road, struggle versus pressure. You make him move his feet, and he gets a little bit off with what he's doing out there. But as the season went on, he became more and more comfortable. And it's a positive step, because the more reps he saw, he just became more comfortable with, you know, playing off platform, using his legs to his advantage. So it's been really good to see his maturation as a quarterback. Only he's going to finish his, well, assuming he comes out, he'll finish his college career with only, what, 13 starts? And going back to 1973, there's been 100 quarterbacks going in the first round. Only three had 15 starts or less in college. Cam Newton, Mark Sanchez, and Mitchell Trubisky. So it doesn't happen often, but I think Dwayne Haskins would be one of them.
What's your opinion on this? Because someday you might be actually running a draft for an NFL franchise, Dane. I think that's possibly you know, in your future. Is Will Greer's not going to play in his bowl game. Haskins, as far as I know, is going to play in his bowl game. What would you want or recommend being either their family member, agent, or a possible scout with that guy playing the last game, the bowl game?
You know, I think it doesn't matter at all, to be honest with you. Now, I would act like it meant a lot when I interviewed him. I'd kind of push him a little bit and say, so you abandoned your team. Oh, okay. You know, what made you just decide that? You know, I'd push him a little bit just to see how he'd respond to that. But reality, it doesn't mean much, because Will Greer's put enough on tape where we know what he is. You know, I think it's a little different, too, because Dwayne Haskins is going to play in the Rose Bowl. You know, yeah. I know the Rose Bowl isn't kind of what it was in terms of importance, but I don't know. Growing up, the Rose Bowl was...
Yes, the granddaddy of them all.
Exactly. My first, like, one of my first college football memories was watching Ohio State and Arizona State, Jake the Snake, in that Rose Bowl in 96, 97, one of those. So,
Lama.
Yeah. You know, it's... I think it's going to be a case where... you know, teams press him on it a little bit, but at the end of the day, the Senior Bowl will be 100 times more important than any bowl game he played in. So if Will Greer goes to Mobile, Alabama, plays well in the Senior Bowl in January, that's what's going to mean more to scouts and teams than anything he would do in a exhibition game.
Baker doubling down on his support of Lincoln Riley, saying he's the best he's ever had, and yeah, he's ready, and he would thrive in the NFL. How much can Baker help Lincoln Riley's NFL stock by talking about it?
Can't hurt it. I mean, you know, it's Baker is quickly gaining respect around the league from opposing defenses, opposing coaches, other quarterbacks who are seeing what he is doing. So, you know, and Baker knows that. He knows he has a voice that matters, and it's growing in importance. So, especially in Cleveland and then in the state of the NFL. So, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt that he is vouching for his former college quarterback. Or coach, we heard Kyler Murray at the Heisman ceremony talk about how important Lincoln Riley was to his development and what he's done this season. So, you know, it's hard to find someone say a poor word about Lincoln Riley and what he's done. It's the question's not going to be when he goes to the NFL, or, you know, if he goes, it's just going to be when.
Yeah.
Appreciate you as always, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.